where Bridgeport comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Let us talk about plants and beautiful things. You can call me at 203-333-9422. Vicki McCarthy. Hello, Vicki. Welcome to the show. You are a master gardener, and we thank you for your expertise. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So, Vicki, I wanted to have you on about a host of things, but let's start first with beech trees, because I think you know more about them than most people. If anybody doesn't know what they look like right now, quickly go to some other device and see the image. They're magnificently, when they grow old, they have these huge, thick trunks. What would you describe the leaves looking like? What would you say it looks like, Vicki? What's the shape of the leaf?
Well, it's kind of pointy, and the beech, everybody knows the beech because of the smooth bark. It's kind of smooth and gray.
Gray,
and we have our regular American beech in the forest, and we also have really beautiful ornamental copper beeches that you can often see, in older homes. Perfect example is the church down on Route 8. You can see it off the highway, a whole line of beautiful copper beeches with
really?
That smooth gray bark. Yeah, beautiful. Hundreds
I think
of years
it looks
old,
a little bit like a teardrop almost,
yeah.
Sort of, right? A little bit like a teardrop
yes.
shape. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
So what do we got with this beech leaf disease? What is this? What's going on?
Well, we do, the past 2 years, we've known about a problem with the beech trees. And it's actually has been found out, they weren't sure if it was a bacterial problem or, you know, a pathogen or an insect. And it turns out to be something called a nematode, which is a microscopic worm that invades the leaf and steals all the chlorophyll out of the leaves of the beech tree. So when you look up into the leaves of the beech tree, you can see dark lines in between the leaf structure. And that probably indicates that you have a problem with this insect. Unfortunately, they're still doing the research, and there's been some experimental procedures done to try to get on top of this insect, and there is nothing definitive yet that is working to eradicate the problem. So the beech trees may go the way of the ash trees. As you know, the invasive emerald ash borer came in and took all our ash trees away from us. The ash trees, actually, we discovered a treatment that helped delay the death of some of those ash and helped save some beautiful ash trees. But the beech, we're still working on. There are treatments that we can do to assist. So anything that is a biostimulant to help that tree stay alive, anything that is a phosphonate, which is a biostimulant for the roots, will help. So you can call a professional arborist or happy to help anybody with some information about that.
So in other words, can you go buy a food at your local nursery or Home Depot and feed the tree something that will make it stronger? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. As a homeowner, as with all trees, the trees have an immune system just like us. So everything we can do to help the tree's own health stay in good health helps keep disease and insects away. So I would not fertilize a tree in trouble. I would use something like a seaweed fertilizer that has a 1-1-1 nitrogen combination. Trees are hard to fertilize as a homeowner because it takes hundreds of gallons. So professionals often have equipment where we have needles where we inject the needle into the ball of the tree and under high pressure and really infuse that whole ball of the tree to make sure all the nutrients are getting in there. But as a homeowner, you could, depending on the diameter of your trunk, you could try that for sure. And just simple watering through times of drought helps.
Really? Are we in a drought right this? I mean, we're not in a drought now, but are we? We haven't had rain for a few days. So like I need to get in my garden today and make sure I water, right? It's getting a little yellow in there.
Speaking of watering, topic of the day, we have transevaporation in times of drought, which means these plants are wicking up water from our water table. And even if you have irrigation on your lawns or your plants, very tough to keep up with the watering needs. We're about 3 inches behind in rain right now.
Is
a great resource. Yeah, Connecticut Drought website will tell us exactly when we are in drought. We're right on the cusp. Thankfully, I think we're going to get some water next week. But the main thing about watering is water deeply versus little sips. And that goes for any plant, whether it's the lawn or your garden. Yeah, much better to get a nice, thorough watering than little sips. So using soaker hoses, which is a great idea, and I know you have that in your garden.
Because you
and
put them in.
Mulching. Yeah, mulching. Yeah. Helps mulching, you know, putting hay or wood chips. Yeah, that's great for, you know, conserving water. Because usually when you're in a
time
of drought,
keeps the water in.
Yes.
I see.
And times of drought, everybody's trying to conserve water. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You're trying to keep your plants alive and conserve water at the same time. And stop fertilizing during a time of dryness like now. It's not the time to fertilize, but instead use something gentle, like something seaweed-based, like Neptune's Harvest. You can order online and use something like that.
I'm trying to absorb all of this. So right now we are 3 inches, a little bit low on water. So if we're growing vegetables, do we want to be watering for a half an hour at a time, an hour at a time? If we have these soaker hoses, how long do you want to have us have the hose on?
Well, the best thing to do is time it. So leave the water on for an hour and then put a trowel in there and see how many inches down it gets. So if your roots of your plant are like 3 inches down or 4 inches down, measure to see how long, so you know, so you don't have to do it. You don't have to be monitoring it and babysitting it. Figure out how long does it take to get that water 3 inches down deeply. You don't want the roots of that plant chasing that water up, in other words. So once a week, a thorough watering, if we don't get rain, is a good way to think about watering gardens, plants, lawns, everything.
Once a week for that good hour or two?
Yes.
But in terms of every day, what if you see the plants turning yellow? Then what do you do?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Definitely respond and get some water on there. And there is something known as a syringe cycle, which is just a very short cycling of water just to get the heat off of plants. I know I have plants in a combination planters. I'm watering them every day. And then at night I do a little cycle because the radiating heat off of stone can really burn out plants too. So, yeah, you can definitely water as you see fit. Now, sometimes plants will turn yellow from overwatering. So, you know, if you're having problems and you can't figure it out, well, that's the thing. You have to do a lot of detective work to figure that out. And it's a good idea to keep a history of what your watering is, especially if you have an irrigation system or something like that.
We're chatting with Vicki McCarthy. 203-333-9422 is our number. She's a master gardener. She works and is affiliated with a lot of the top arborists and plant-saving associations in our area. She was the master gardener for Weston, for Reading, for Easton for a number of years, and she knows what she's talking about. She's also a beekeeper, right, Vicki? Aren't you? You're a beekeeper too, right?
Yes. Yeah, you know, it all dovetails together. Once you get into it, one thing leads to the next. And I really care about pollinators, being a beekeeper, and have, you know, a lot of interest in studying them. So I always am very careful about coaching on using pesticides in the environment and making sure things are safe. And as I say, you get to realize the ecosystem is all connected together, and we're part of that ecosystem. So everything recontributes to our health. In the end.
You know, we had Susan Bysiewicz on, our lieutenant governor, last week. Do you know that she grew up on a farm? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
She grew up on a farm, and she pretty much still lives on one. She lives in Durham, and she and her husband
beautiful.
And she goes for 5-mile walks every night, and they have this massive vegetable garden. And so I said to her, you know, that I am concerned that Connecticut has a law that does not allow municipalities to control pesticides in their own towns, that this has been superseded by a state law, and that even if municipalities wanted to, they can't make laws with respect to private property. They can make laws with respect to how they use pesticides, but they can't say, for example, that people who cut lawns or fertilize their lawns in their own town, even though the towns may be dependent on well water and we're all dependent on water in general, should only use, for example, organic. And this is something that she cares a lot about. When you are out there and you see what people are using, Vicki McCarthy, what range of products are we using, and which ones as homeowners do we really not want to have on our lawns? Do we really want to tell people to stay away from, in your opinion?
Well, to answer that question, what's interesting is when I first started my studies down this road, I was really insulted when I sat in class and they said, you know, being a homeowner myself and a do-it-yourselfer, they said, the biggest polluters are the homeowners. And I kind of, I reacted to that. I wasn't comfortable with that. As I came to study all of this and became a pesticide supervisor, I realized where they were coming from with that. And having said that, the biggest thing any homeowner can do is continue to educate themselves so that they know that the selections they're making and the manner in which they're putting pesticides down is correct. And so my fastest advice for making sure that you're not a homeowner who is polluting the environment is read the label. And that means use it in the proportion that they tell you to, because a lot of people, and I've done it myself in the past, as I said, you know, you think, oh, I want to, you know, kill this pest or, you know, make an improvement in the garden. You think more is better. And that is just not the case. You know, everything goes into the Long Island Sound because it goes through the soil pores. No matter where we live in Fairfield County, it's going into the Long Island Sound. So using the label appropriately is probably the best advice. And educate, educate, educate yourself. It's so fascinating. I mean, I went down this path and never got off. So I would recommend people use their resources, like UConn has some fabulous resources, and the New Haven Ag Station has fabulous resources. There's SIPWIG. They're having a symposium in November all about invasive plants. And, you know, people often want to use pesticides on invasive plants and invasive animals. So educate yourself. That's
well,
the best
But you're
advice.
Here to educate us, Vicky. But Vicky, I need you to educate
yes.
us. So in other
okay.
words, if we're at Home Depot, we're at a nursery, what label, let's do it in the affirmative. What label do we look for? Is there a label? Is there a label that if I buy something, I don't have to do all of the educating because the label stands by having educated me already?
Every label has to list how dangerous the pesticide is within it. So you want the lowest toxicity. So in other words, caution is toxic. Danger is highly toxic. You really want to get something that doesn't have a label because that means it's lowest toxicity. And ideally, use something, look into the word active ingredients and make sure that there is nothing that is not, you know, you stick with organic food products when you're putting them down on a lawn instead of using something that says herbicide or insecticide. Stay away from those terms when selecting something.
So
and
if something that we buy, yeah, so if something that we buy already says caution or danger, are you saying that there
yes.
is an adequate substitute for the same problem with something that doesn't say caution or danger?
Well, that is a very that's a very interesting question that I can't answer directly, because some pests, let's put it this way, 5%, only 5% of insects are pests in the case of insects. Let's just say a tick that's threatening human existence.
Okay,
ticks are very serious for human health. There are organic pesticides that you can use to treat if you're aware. So when you're engaging getting rid of something like a tick, use something like a cedar oil or a garlic oil versus a synthetic pesticide that also is known to control ticks.
Okay.
Try to educate yourself. And like I said, even just, you know, having a consult with a professional, you can get a lot of information on how to treat your own property yourself if you want to go down that road versus hiring them or spending money on a professional. So
I've heard that citric, something with citric or lime
yes.
is very good. What's that? What's that good for?
You're probably thinking of, there's a product, I think there's a couple of products, and one of the names is Avenger, and that is a great vegetation control that is organic, and it's made out of citric acids. Mm-hmm. Other things that control weeds and problems like that are things like vinegar.
Okay. Vinegars work for me.
Clove oil.
Vinegar works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing is you have to be persistent with it. And a lot of people, they want more immediate gratification. So I tell everybody, be patient and be persistent when you're using these products. Sometimes the organic products need a little more time than the other products.
But they'll kill less. They'll injure yes. less. Yes, yeah. That's the point. All right, Vicki McCarthy, yes. thanks
and
for
the
joining
other caution,
us.
Today.
Yes, go ahead.
Lisa, one more caution. Even when you're using an organic product, they can still leach into the environment. So follow the label. And there are organic pesticides as well as synthetic. So always just be cautious and educate yourself.
And less is more, basically. That's what I'm hearing.
less is more. Absolutely.
Less is more.
Yeah.
Vicki McCarthy, thank you so much. If people want to find you or reach you, how would they do so? What's the best way for them to follow up with a question?
Well, you can reach me at vmccarthy, M-C-C-A-R-T-H-Y, at savatree.com, S-A-V-A-T-R-E-E.com.
Okay, will do. Thank you so much, Vicki McCarthy, for being on the show today. So much appreciated, and thank you for my beautiful garden. I'll go out and water it, I promise.
Oh, take care, Lisa, and thank you.
Right. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.